Jesus good too. Well, good morning, everyone. How are you doing? Yeah? Good, I hope. At the back there, Chris, are you good? All good at the back? Yeah, good, good, good. Right, so Palm Sunday today. Yay. Have a good time. So it's Palm Sunday today, and we're going to be looking at the title, Hosanna to the Son of David. And I'm hopefully going to unpick those words a little bit and help us to have an understanding of those words. So let's read the passage where that comes from, and it's Matthew 21. And I'm going to read verses 1 through to 11. And it's entitled, Jesus' Triumphant Entry. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mount of Olives. Jesus sent two of them ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter it, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone asks you why you're doing this, say the Lord needs them and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble, riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowd spread their garments on the road ahead of him. Others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, Hosanna! Or as the NLT says, praise God for the Son of David. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Praise God in the highest. The entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. The crowds replied, it's Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. I imagine at this point in time, the disciples were getting really excited. Can you imagine what they were feeling on the inside? Okay, they'd been with Jesus 3 whole years. And now the crowds appear to be recognizing him for who they have known him to be, the Messiah. Was it going to be now that Jesus revealed himself as Messiah? Was he now going to take over the Romans and rule and reign? You can imagine them getting really excited. We know, actually, that a week later, he was executed, was he not? Probably took the disciples a little bit by surprise. At that point, they'll be like, you can imagine how, like, the following week, they're like, what has happened? Why is he dead? But let's just unpack some of the words that there were people were speaking over him, because it was a little bit more than just words. The words had impact. The words had meaning. And actually, they were powerful words. Okay, so let's have a look at the bit that says, praise God for the Son of David. The actual word there is the Hebrew word, Hosanna. And it means, it's actually originally a cry for help. It means, save us now. It's a word that carries high emotion. So the crowds were crying to Jesus, save us! now. They were asking Jesus to save them. And quite rightly so, because he is the Saviour. He is our Saviour. Jesus came and saved us from the catastrophic consequences of sin and death. He is the Saviour. In fact, his name, Jesus, or in the Hebrew, Yeshua, actually means God saves. His name is a prophetic name. It's a declaration that God is saving. And he did, didn't he? His death on the cross, we just sang it, that the weight of sin was on his shoulders. Your sin, my sin, the weight of all the crap of the world was on his shoulders. Why? So that we could have eternal life. In John 3, verse 16, which I'm sure you know or recognize the words because it's one of the most popular words from the Bible, it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life." Say it again. I will say it again. All right. Are you listening? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Hosanna. Exactly. Hosanna. Save us. And he has saved us. And next week, we will be celebrating him big time, won't we? We're going to be, you know, on Good Friday, we'll be thinking about the cross and what the cross means and what he did on the cross. And then on Sunday, we'll be celebrating his victorious resurrection. And of course, we will be celebrating those who recently have decided to say yes to him, who have decided to accept his gift of salvation. And we're going to have the baptisms. And I love watching people get baptized. It just makes me so excited. I get goosebumps and I get all giddy on the inside. It's like Christmas Day. Hosanna. Hosanna. The disciples were expecting Jesus to rise up and overthrow the Romans. And in fact, the following week, the Romans killed him. But it was all part of the plan so that he could take the punishment that we deserve. Okay, so the next bit, Hosanna. So that's my first point. My next point is Son of David. It's a bit of a random thing to say if you don't know what they were meaning. So I'm going to just let me unpack that a little bit. Because, I mean, Son of David, well, no, he wasn't. His dad was called Joseph, wasn't it? Right? And his real father was, you know, Yahweh, God in heaven. So what on earth do they mean by Son of David? It goes back to 2 Samuel chapter 7, right back to the second king of Israel, King David, okay? And God gave David a promise. And I'm going to read out the promise to you, okay? This is what God promised King David. He said, "Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make you a house for your..." "Furthermore, the Lord declares that he will make a house for you, a dynasty of kings. For when you die and are buried with your ancestors, I will raise up one of your descendants, of your own offspring, And the, at the moment, he's still talking about Solomon, okay? I will make him his kingdom strong, and he will be the one that will build a temple for my name. I will secure his royal throne forever. I will raise up his father, and I will be his father, and he will be my son. If he sins, I will correct and discipline him with the rod, like a father would do. But my favour will not be taken from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I removed from my sight. And this is the promise that he made. He says, your house and your kingdom will continue before me for all time, and your throne will be secure forever. That was the promise that God gave to King David. Now, question. When we look at Israel, is there a king on the throne in Israel at the moment? No, not a natural king. Okay, so he couldn't mean a natural king because that's not happening. However, who is Jesus? Okay, Jesus was a direct descendant of King David. Okay, in Matthew chapter 1, there's a genealogy and it's believed that it's the genealogy from King David right the way down to Jesus through Joseph's family line. And in Luke chapter 3, it is believed that the genealogy is right the way down through through Mary's bloodline. So Jesus was a descendant of King David. And this is where God's promise to David is fulfilled, because Jesus is king. Okay? We're going to go a little bit further into that in a moment. In fact, the Apostle Paul says that as to his earthly line, Jesus Christ was a direct descendant of David, and that's Romans 1:3. Okay, so that's where that phrase comes from. When they were shouting out, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were declaring Jesus as King, and they were declaring that Jesus as Saviour. Powerful words and truthful words. And where it says that, you know, this is to fulfil the prophecy is actually Zechariah 9, verse 9. And it says this: Rejoice, O people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and victorious, yet he is humble, riding on a donkey. Riding on a donkey's colt. A donkey. Let me have a look. Let's think about the donkey, okay? I've got a few facts here about donkeys. Don't worry, we're coming back to Jesus, I promise. Okay, so the scientific name for a donkey is Equus Africanus Asinus. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I had to look it up. Did you know that donkeys can sleep standing up? The first domestic donkeys were around 6,000 years ago in North Africa. And it was the Romans that brought donkeys to the UK for labour. There are over 50 million donkeys on the planet at this very moment. And they're very sociable animals and intelligent. They can assess risk and won't do something if they deem it to be dangerous. And apparently, when sized comparison, they are stronger than horses. And they like to be hugged. Oh. And apparently, they've got a cross on their back. Their mane goes down there and it kind of goes across like that. So if you look down on a horse, there's a cross on it. So the word that is used to describe the donkey that Jesus rode on is polos. It's the Greek word is polos, and it actually means a foal, a papy, or a colt. Now, probably not a very, 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 very little tiny weeny baby, because that would have, his legs wouldn't have been strong enough to carry him, but he was a young horse, a young donkey. I keep saying horse. A young donkey. That means that he was a donkey that hadn't been trained yet. And apparently, you can't ride a donkey that hasn't been trained. If you look up, you know, how to ride a donkey, the first thing it says on the internet, or at least on the thing that I found, is make sure that the donkey has received training before you try and ride on it, okay? Many donkeys make great pets, but are not cut out for being ridden. Find out whether the donkey has been trained to carry a saddle and follow riding commands. Get a donkey that has been trained and ridden and not just walked and led. Okay, so if you're going to ride a donkey, make sure you check it out first, all right? Donkeys learn differently from mules or horses. Their responses are much slower and initially, but they learn completely if you are clear with your content. Okay. Don't ride a donkey that's not been ridden. Unless, of course, you're the Lord of creation. And I find it fascinating that Jesus takes this young donkey, hasn't been ridden before, and the donkey follows his direction. He's Lord of creation. If you go back to what I said about donkeys assess risk, a donkey assessed the risk and chose to trust Jesus. It's a good plan. That's a good thing to do, really, isn't it? I think we should follow that donkey's advice. In every circumstance, choose to trust Jesus and let him ride you or fill you with his spirit. So that's the donkey. So we've looked at what Hosanna means, we've looked at what to the Son of David means. What about now? Right now? Or what about the next time Jesus rides? Is he going to be riding a donkey? No. The next time we see Jesus riding, he's riding a white horse. This is what Revelation says. And this is the Jesus who who fills us with his spirit. This is the Jesus that we are putting our trust in. And this is the Jesus that we are following. Listen to what John saw, okay? So this is the Apostle John, and he actually had an experience where he was caught up into the heavens, and he had a glimpse of what heaven is like, and he wrote it down for us in Revelation. And this is what he said: I saw heaven opened and a white horse standing there. Its rider was named Faithful and True, for he judges fairly and wages a righteous war. In his eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. A name was written on him that no one understood except himself. He wore a robe dripped in blood, and his title was the Word of God. So that's the title John gave in the beginning of his gospel when he was describing who Jesus is, in John 1. The armies of heaven, dressed in the finest pure white linen, followed him on white horses, and from his mouth came a sharp sword to strike down the nations. He will rule with an iron rod. He releases the fierce wrath of God, the Almighty, like juice flowing from a winepress. On his robe and his thigh was written the title, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Wow. He's going to sort out the world. when he rides on his white horse and he returns. However exactly that looks like, he's coming back, and he's coming back as a victorious King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It excites me. It really excites me. This same John that wrote that, when he first got a vision of Jesus. Now remember, John was his best friend, okay? Well, you know, during the 3 years that Jesus was on earth as a human doing his ministry, John was one of his best friends. And then he gets a revelation of what he looks like now. And this is what he says is in Revelation 1. It says, I turned to see who's speaking to me, and I saw 7 gold lampstands. Standing in the middle of the lampstands with the one like the Son of Man. He was wearing a long robe and a gold sash across his chest. His head hair was white like wool, white as snow. And his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in a furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. In his hands, the stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword comes from his mouth. And his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. When I saw him, this is what John says, I fell at his feet as though dead. But he laid his hand on me and said, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and the grave. That's what he won on the cross. He got the keys back. That's who we are worshipping this morning. That's who we're following this morning. Hosanna to the Son of David. I'm just going to finish. And I wonder if Steve and Daniela, if you could come back. Just want to finish with another section of Revelation. Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and the living beings and the elders, and they sang a mighty chorus. Worthy is the Lamb who is slain or slaughtered. This is Jesus they're talking about. To receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, and they sang, and people of Glendale, because we're included, okay, we will one day sing with all of creation, blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Amen. And the 4 living beings said, Amen. The 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. We get to participate in worship already. We don't have to wait for that day. We can worship now. And that's the beauty of the fact that we are his children and we are following him. Father, I thank you this morning that we serve a risen and alive Saviour. Jesus, I thank you that you are on the throne. Thank you that you are ruling and reigning. And right now, this morning, in this moment, we are choosing to honor you. We are choosing to worship you. And we are joining with all the angels as we sing, Holy, holy, you are worthy, you are glorious. Hallelujah.
Throne you, we proclaim you. We raise you up with our praise, and as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take. Jesus, we enthrone you, we proclaim you are King, standing here in the midst of us, we raise you up. As we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. Oh, come, Lord Jesus, and take.